over.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Stoneface Films podcast right around the corner. Just very quickly want to inform you about our good friends over at Loot Crate. We are huge fans of Loot Crate. We have been for years and years and years. And you know how we feel about it by now. They are the tops. They are the tops. They are the Tower of Pisa. Loot Crate is the monthly mystery crate for all of you pop culture fans, people who enjoy video games, movies, nerd stuff, basically everything we talk about on this show and more. If you're into the kind of stuff we're into, boy howdy will you enjoy Loot Crate. It comes with exclusive and incredible items and apparel from your favorite TV shows, movies, games, and more, with over $45 worth of value in each and every crate. So, particularly with our promo code BADLADS, you're effectively robbing them. Go to lootcrate.com/stoneface and check out May's box, The Guardians. Go there, lootcrate.com/stoneface, promo code BADLADS. BADLADS.
Meet me by where the feral dogs usually are. Don't try to...
Oh yeah, the island was full of feral dogs.
It's the as of yet untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. I am the fleshy bag of sadness masquerading as John Hosier Byrne. With me today, as always, is the co-host of the show. He almost couldn't be here today because he was suspending himself upside down from the ceiling, looking down at a recovering heroin junkie. It's Mr. David Riley.
Hello, folks.
How you doing?
So, firstly, it's going to sound like something real dramatic happened in the break because you didn't give yourself like a sad intro in the first episode, and then went hard on the sad in the second. Like,
I didn't plan it.
It just came out. Yeah. And then secondly, am I the baby from Trainspotting?
Yes, you are.
Got it.
Okay. Also with us today, and we're delighted to have him, the a la carte to our Dracula, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
You want to have a guess?
Castlevania?
Yeah. A la carte. For those of you playing at home, you'll notice that... Alucard, the protagonist of Castlevania, I believe, Lords of Shadow, the first one, was his name is Dracula spelt backwards.
I mean, genius.
Very good stuff.
Whose name is Dracula backwards?
Alucard, protagonist from Castlevania.
Right, and is Dracula in it?
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
So the okay.
And then in the second one, I believe you play as Dracula. I can't remember though. It's been a while since I played Castlevania.
And the second one's Simon's Quest, so I'm assuming you play as Simon.
Play Simon.
Yeah.
It's not actually called Simon's Quest, is it?
Yeah, the second
sounds
one.
Like it's Castlevania too. Sounds like Mass Blaster. It sounds like an educational game.
Putt-putt driving game. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Simon's Quest.
Lee Carvalho's Pudding Challenge.
I would play the shit out of Nick Faldo's Pudding. Was it Nick Faldo?
Lee Carvalho.
Lee Carvalho.
Lee Carvalho's Pudding Challenge. Yeah, I'd play that too. as long as Faldo's a playable character. Also with us today, and we are delighted to have her. Boy howdy, do you like smut? Well, she's a peddler of it. This is something I've been told to say. This isn't my own specific...
It was in my writer.
It was in your writer. Yeah, yeah. Bowl of fresh fruit and refer to you as a smut peddler.
Yeah.
They're the big two. And we are delighted to have her on the show. Continuing our run of guests who represent the very finest of young feminist Irish women. Strong, powerful Irish women. Muscular. Yep, there you go. Look at that. Are you, our guest
I've got
here is
guns.
Flexing the buys. Give me one of those free tickets.
Yep.
And we are delighted to have her here, ladies and gentlemen. She is the founder and chief peddler of smut over at sexshoppa.ie. Shauna Scott, everyone. How you doing, Shauna?
Yo, yo, yo. I'm good.
Yo, indeed. Yo, indeed. Is there any significance to saying yo three times as opposed to the requisite one?
I think you get cooler the more you say it.
Right.
So one yo is kind of cool. Two yos, like yo, yo, cooler. Maybe three yos is coolest.
I think three yos is inquisitive.
Yo, it's sort yo.
Of, it's,
yo.
It's the equivalent of saying, like if yo is a greeting,
yeah.
It's the equivalent of saying hello, hello, hello. You know what I mean? Like you're an old-timey police officer. Yeah.
But what's instead, you're busting like into on MTV and during the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Beach house.
Well,
yo,
they're
yo,
always
yo.
Very curious about what's going on in that beach house. There's always someone dead in the corner.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like if
hello, hello, hello.
1890s Dickensian Britain police drama.
Yeah.
but Baz Luhrmann written with 90s hip-hop dialogue.
Yeah.
Yo, yo, yo. Another dead ho.
Exactly.
I mean, I'd watch it.
Jack the Ripper is on the loose again.
Da, D-A.
D-A. Yeah.
Joe, what's interesting, if you just say yo twice, it's a French situation comedy set during the German occupation.
Very good.
Yeah, anyway.
Americans is not a clue what they're not going
to
know.
God bless them for trying. God bless them for trying to keep a
notion. Yeah.
That's they really.
You have some patience.
They've got it. It's an uphill battle to begin with. Yeah. To be fair, listen to our shy. Shauna, how are you? How was your break?
Yeah, good. I had most of my muffin.
You did.
Yeah.
God bless you, Donal. Nowhere to be seen. Unfortunately,
nowhere to be seen. I think I scared him off.
Listen,
I was
Donal.
Sitting next to him in a cafe a few months ago, and it was only when he left, someone was like, "You know, it was Donal Gleeson sitting next to me." So it was, yeah.
You should have sent him my way. What were you thinking?
He was like where John is, and I was sitting here, so I was like, this is as far as we were. And then the lady...
Shauna was sitting next to you, licking the plate after it.
And then the lady was like, in the cafe, was like, oh, we've had all the famous people in, you know, today. We had Don Gleason in just there.
Mm.
And then Paul Hollywood was in this morning.
Like, get away.
Those are a different scope of famous people. And
just
those
investigating
are
the bread.
All of them. Yeah.
Paul Hollywood, he's a get if you run a cafe. Paul Hollywood
he was in filming
like,
something. It wasn't like he was in, I've heard you do good breads.
Ah, yeah, but that would be like...
But I do better.
That's like when we had fucking Elrond walk onto set, like...
Yeah.
You know, if Paul Hollywood walked on, it wouldn't have had the same gravitas.
Despite his name.
Like, but like him walking into a cafe...
You're like, ooh.
That's his go-to.
Yeah. His domain.
God damn. It was weird watching Lord of the Rings again, seeing Elrond being like, ah, oh, you...
There he is, so...
You were real drunk that time.
You ran your hands through my beard.
Did he?
Commented that I didn't have a chin.
Yeah, we met on Dame Street
a few
months ago, and he was fucking hammered.
He was him and Stephen Ree, the big two.
Yeah. Oh, that warms my heart.
The softest hands.
I feel like if I met him, I'd just be so intimidated by his presence. But if he was hammered, I just want to like be like, hey, let's go to the pub.
And then they did. They
get you
they
more
proceeded
hammered.
To keep drinking.
Because he was with a guy I know. He was like, Carl, come on. He said there'd be more whiskey.
Can I also recommend very quickly, this is going out on the Friday,
yeah,
if there's any people knocking around Dublin on the Saturday, Charlie Mooney is performing his ode to Chet Baker in Arthur's on Saturday night, and I break it up, I'm going to try and be there. Boy howdy, if you've not seen Charlie Mooney do Chet Baker, it is transcendent. Highly recommend you check it out. Are you a Chet Baker fan, Shauna?
I think Chet Baker is one of those artists that kind of passed me by. Yeah. I feel like it's someone like that I should like.
Oh, I just
but like
I love
just,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, I only like jazz and alternative 90s rock and nothing else.
Yeah.
Like Smashing Pumpkins, Pixies, and Chet Baker and the Boys.
Mm.
Yeah. And nothing, and so, yeah.
It was one of those things, like, I have a friend who's obsessed with, like, PJ Harvey.
Yeah,
and,
I
was obsessed with, like, Tori Amos, Bjork.
Love Bjork.
Kate Bush and all. And so I'm like, you would think that PJ Harvey would
be
next logical step
yeah.
for me. And I just, it was just one of those things that just went past me.
And Tori Amos is smells like Team Spirit.
She...
Got me through fourth year, yo.
She is coming back to Dublin
yeah.
in September. And I really want to go. I saw her in the Olympia in 2014. And
where
she's
does is she in
unreal.
The Olympia again? Where does Tori Amos
She's in the Bord Gáis.
In the Bord Gáis, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Tori Amos had a Cornflake Girl.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Amazing song.
It is my top song about FGM. I think. Of the 90s.
Yeah, like all through like high school, I think she was kind of like my go-to because I was. Like weird kid, like weird gothy kid, and she kind of got me through because like, I don't know, she was so weird and like her lyrics were so cryptic, and I was just like all about that. So it was funny, like whenever I wrote poetry, because when you're a teenager, you always write really
damn
bad poetry.
Right.
I used to like write really horrible,
yeah,
like not
too,
even cryptic, and just like random poems, and they would all be like ripoffs of like Tory lyrics and stuff.
And we. When I was in school in sixth year, me and a friend of mine, Peter, who has since gone on to become a published poet and a very, very accomplished poet, me and him had a bet that we couldn't go to the open mic night in the Harbour Bar and do poetry readings. And it was sort of like, we'll see who could write the best poem. And we both went up, and he read a gorgeous poem, and I read a solidly, very emo poem, quite indulgent poem. And it was great because I sat there.
Mindlessly self.
It was a bit, yeah. But no, it was all right, but it was...
You should go back and read your poems about Loot Crate.
No,
open mic night.
No doubt, but I was getting into it. Even the other day I was writing the L invitation to the Crystal Maze birthday party. I was getting really into it.
Yeah.
Getting really into the little, like, just the phrasing and stuff, the play in words. I've gotten quite into it again. Since the Loot Crate thing, I've been quite into writing my little shitty poems. But hey, look, we'll see. If we get a bit of scatting behind those bad boys, it's going to sound dynamite. David, we got a question from the listener?
Yeah. The very top question here is for Shauna.
Ooh.
Opens with for Shauna, but open to everyone if not shy. What truths are actually depicted in porn?
What truths?
Yeah.
That people have sex.
Yeah, I think.
I think that's kind of the main one.
Probably. Yeah.
I can't get a plumber in without getting bummed.
It's so inconvenient. I just want a shower. Mm. Just need some hot water.
Just the taps aren't working, lad.
You know,
jizz and there's no hot water, so it's a nightmare.
One thing I do love about porn, like, not to say that porn isn't problematic, because there's areas of porn that are going to be problematic no matter what, but if you are living in a place that's, like, pretty conservative, like, pretty religious, like, the Bible Belt in America has the most amount of, like, porn consumption in the entire United States. And so, like, realistically, if you're in any way different, like, if you're gay or trans or, like, have a different body shape than what is considered, like, normative, like, porn is a outlet, sometimes, like, the only outlet of representation for those people to see other bodies, other sexualities that are like them. So, yeah, there's that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I have nothing to add. Rob?
Nah.
John?
You know the answer.
If Dublin was sucked into a wormhole, this isn't porn related. Which city would you like to replace it? Real or fictional? The replacement city would slot into the whole Dublin left behind. Ooh, presuming we've survived this.
Does it have to be a city on the planet Earth?
No, nope. You said real or fictional.
Can it be a culture ship?
Keep going.
A culture ship?
Like the culture novels?
Oh,
the
right.
The E&M Banks novels?
Nothing.
I've only read one. I want to start reading more because it's, like, so cool. So basically...
Give us the elevator
So the
pitch.
Ships are, like, sentient beings.
Wow.
And they're big and massive, like, the size of a planet, basically. And they keep humans on them. The humans think that... Well, they don't think that they're running the show. They just live on these ships. Mm-hmm. And the ships don't kill them off because they think that they're so entertaining.
So it's like a generational ship kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
But the, like, humans at that stage had, like, evolved and stuff. They have, like drug glands. So if they're in a lot of pain, they just switch on a drug gland and then it's like, oh, free painkiller.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like Ketrasol White.
Sounds swell.
Yep.
Tell us, so if Dublin disappears,
gone.
The country of Ireland continues to exist.
Yeah.
Albeit the government presumably has disappeared as well.
Yeah.
Does the city that emerges in its place fall within the jurisdiction of the Irish government?
Ooh.
Do the laws that are currently enacted now continue? So, for instance, if you were to do...
Like, constitutionally?
Yeah, let's just say hypothetically, it's not my answer.
Yeah.
But let's say the city of Braavos...
Tags in. Yeah, it's slavery.
You get exactly what I mean.
Yes.
Slavery is now a thing or not a thing?
Is a thing.
It's still a thing in Dublin.
Because if it's replacing Dublin, it's replacing the seat of government, I suppose.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay.
Do we still have to give the National Maternity Hospital to the nuns?
No.
Okay.
So slavery.
Give it to the slavers.
Or
What's the difference, am I right? It's funny because it's exactly the truth. Come at me, Catholic Church. Do you know what? My first shout is Rapture. That's the first.
What's Rapture?
From Bioshock.
I've never played it.
From the first Bioshock.
I was going to say, like the Bible?
Yeah.
No.
That'll be better.
Let's just get raptured and we don't have to deal with anything.
Yeah. The libertarian nightmare underwater city from the first Bioshock.
It sounds atrocious.
Like the Bible.
Yeah. I wouldn't go, Columbia from Infinite?
The flying one.
The flying one, very racist.
Yeah.
Too racist for my taste, thank you very much. It wouldn't take much, but that's loads of racism.
Seems inconvenient as well, because you have to get everywhere using like a hook.
Yeah.
Effort.
Great crack. You'd
a lot of upper body strength.
You would. But no, thank you. What else? What cities do I like?
Tokyo.
Oh, that'd be horrific.
It'd be so bad, wouldn't it?
But just like the biker gangs and shit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talk of remaking a live-action version of Akira.
It seems
that they've been talking about that for years.
For years and years. But it seems to have gathered steam again. And,
that was another movie that I didn't... I know everybody loves it. Mm-hmm. I watched like the first 15 minutes of it, and I'm like, I'm over it.
I know, you need to give it time. You need to sit with it.
Because
it's a long, long film. And I mean,
I used to tell people for years, because like I'm a like film and video school dropout. I used to tell everybody that my favorite film was Citizen Kane, but I really fucking hate Citizen Kane.
Oh, okay, so... Here, why do you dislike Citizen Kane?
It's boring.
It's
AF.
Not. It's fascinating. Superb film. I love Citizen Kane. I really adore it.
Like, the cinematography is
stunning,
unreal. Mm-hmm. But I just can't sit down.
Greggy T.
Yeah,
Greg Toland was the cinematographer.
I just can't. I just couldn't sit down and like watch it all the way through. I had to like watch it, take a break, and then watch it some more. And so I feel like that's like sacrilege amongst...
I think as well, like you've got to, you know, I mean, this is always the classic go-to, right? But
and
in
I under,
both
I understand,
of those cases...
I understand the importance of it, and I understand the importance of Akira. I just can't watch it and enjoy it.
But you've got to like even take into account something as simple as the fact that almost all of Akira takes place at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was unheard of in the context of anime at the time, because animation in general... becomes twice as expensive to produce when you're doing it, when your scenes take place at nighttime.
Yeah.
There's a nuance of color
that
is just very, very difficult to replicate.
Oh, I totally get all that.
The frame rate was was completely new in the context of anime at the time.
Yeah.
Like, it was huge across the board for all different types of reasons. But I tell you what, do you remember we talked previously about... Bob Chipman, David.
Yeah.
Movie Bob on YouTube.
Yes, yeah.
So he's doing that thing, he's ripping off and very openly ripping off What Culture Wrestling in how you would fix movies and how you would do things like that.
Mm.
And it's good fun. I don't know if that's a thing you've ever come across, but he's very open about it. He even has the same seats behind him in the green screen. So like he's very knowing in his appropriation of that format.
Yeah.
But he had a great one for if you are going to do Akira. Because, you know, it's sort of about a gang of misfit youths who are alienated from their society and disenfranchised in all these various ways. It's like, if you are going to do it and it isn't going to be a Japanese, because it was going to, you know, it's a hypothetically American production.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Rumored
as Zac Efron was tied to be Kaneda for a while.
You see, this is he had the very clever point of that already, the structure of it already exists. Just do it as African American motorcycle gangs.
Yeah.
In the context of a hypothetical a dystopian ghetto state sort of thing. I found that it was he outlined it in a very interesting way. And I tell you what, he also had this great pitch, man. I don't want to just keep talking about fucking Movie Bob, but he had a great video there last week of how you do, how you would reintegrate the Fantastic Four into the Marvel Universe, into the cinematic, the MCU.
Oh, cool.
And it was really, really, I really liked his idea.
Drop them in through a wormhole?
Very close.
Really?
Yeah. So, very close. It was, his pitch starts with like, Just do an after credit sequence, like same as you do with all the other Marvels, yeah. You know what I mean? Where all the Avengers or whoever are chilling out in New York in one of the Avenger houses.
Yeah.
And then like a big comet flies down into the, you know, over the city, and they're like, oh, better go deal with that. And they go and guide the comet into the Hudson River or whatever. And they realize it isn't a comet, it's an old Kennedy era spaceship.
Oh, amazing.
Right. Dun, dun, dun. And then like a big orange arm bursts through the thing, and then that's the cut to black, right?
Perfect.
So then you do the Fantastic Four movie, and it's set in the 60s for when, you know, they do the whole...
So kind of a first Captain America, first Avenger.
Exactly. So
tease them getting into the future,
because
then jump back.
Exactly.
Into their...
And the whole thing about that, I mean, the Fantastic Four doesn't really work outside of the context of the 1960s aesthetic to begin with. Like, it's all very...
Space age.
It's space age, and it's also grounded in a very... specifically
kind of
cold war-y but also in a familial sensibility,
in a nuclear
family sensibility, right? So have you could do a straight up like Mad Men, X-Men First Class kind of thing, where you know you go back and they go into space, and then they, you know, when they come back, it's they've gone forward 50 years in time, say 50, 60 years in time. And then you could have the wider context of, because the whole thing about the Fantastic Four is, you know, Reed Richards' guilt in transforming all these, you know, all his family and stuff.
Yeah.
And them trying to, and like, trying to refit into society, particularly Ben Grimm's arc and stuff like that. Yeah. And then you could sort of play that up with not just the immediate and obvious mutations or whatever that, you know, the same X-Men narratives have been playing out for so long, but you could also do, like, how does... how they fit in a social and cultural context.
Reed dropping the N-word every so often.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. How does his role as the white male patriarch, how does that adapt? How does...
Yeah, because there wouldn't have been anyone like questioning that power structure in his day.
How does Sue Storm fit into, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you could do it in a, you know, not in a... and he I can't remember what the terminology he uses, but it was presented in such a way as that it's not like, oh, all my white privilege is gone, or anything like that. But you could explore interesting themes in that context.
And also, he'd go from being like one of the smartest scientists of his era.
That's very true.
To being like, hang on, what the fuck can you guys do now? Like, it's just...
Sorry, Iron Man?
I'm stretchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
I've been in space.
It was really interesting.
I went to space this morning.
My clothes can fly me to space.
Into a wormhole with a nuclear missile. I think, I think someone last week asked who YouTubers we liked were.
Yeah.
And there's a good one. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was very interesting. It was. I liked that a lot. What city would you like, Rob? You're going to say Coruscant or something, are you?
Man, you'd only get a tiny bit.
Dagobah.
Usharn from Eberron.
From our D&D game.
Yeah, the City of Spears.
Minas Tirith would be cool, but it's a lot of climbing.
Yeah, no. Not.
Stairs.
It's real pretty, though.
Oh, keeping it heated?
Yeah.
Get to wear a sword, though. That'd be cool.
What's that German
town? There's a grand design for you.
Oh, Minas Tirith.
You know that German town that all Germans have a joke that it doesn't really exist?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, and even Chancellor Merkel was just sort of like... made a gag about it. It was just like, be great if that existed, that place, because classic German sense of humor.
I think that's a really funny joke.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I think that's genius.
That it's just keeps going.
I don't know. What would be a good one? Shauna, you have any ideas? Fictional city to replace Dublin?
Ooh.
Paris. Amelie's Paris.
Yeah. Amelie's Paris.
Pretty.
Yeah.
Manic Pixie Dream City.
Yeah. Oh man, it's a pretty racist depiction of Paris. Ooh, all the non-whites are mentally disabled. Cool. Good work, Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Taking him down.
Maybe the colony, an alien.
Oh no. It's a dreadful idea.
Yeah. But like if it had pubs on it. I was just thinking of like cool, like fictional, fucked up worlds that are equally as fucked up as Ireland at the moment.
Speed Racer City.
Yeah.
Speed Racer.
Yeah.
only if Matthew Fox is there.
And give me a city where Donald Gleason's in it. Oh, wait, we're already here.
About time.
Or no, he lives in London or something, doesn't he?
I think he splits his time.
Hmm.
Aboutly.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rapture because I love the aesthetic. Do you know what? Give me a bit of Art Deco and the sea. I'm a happy man.
I would love if I could teleport between here and Seattle because I do miss home sometimes. And the two cities are like pretty...
Just stretching the definition of the question there.
I know.
I'd like to invent teleportation, please.
You know what? I'm the guest and I don't give a fuck. So we're going to go with, I'm going to make a teleporting tube.
Or just put Seattle where Kildare is.
Yeah.
No one's going to miss that'd Kildare.
Be, yeah, no one's going to miss Kildare. Yeah.
Ooh, can I have like Jupiter Station, like in Star Trek?
Yeah, sure.
Can I have like, what was it, New Planitia or something? One of the cities from Star Trek.
That I've got a good one. That planet on Star
Risa.
Trek. Where everybody's like constantly boning.
Riza.
Yeah. And they've got the white bikini things, yeah. But you can't, like, if you like mess up their flower garden, they're gonna fuck you up.
Yeah.
Bone town.
Or... You're just looking at that bottom line. You're just thinking.
Set up a brick and mortar store.
Yeah.
Flying.
I think that would be a fun planet. Everyone's riding and wearing really bad bikinis.
I don't know,
bikinis.
Man.
Apart from Picard, he just wants to read
Picard,
his book.
Yeah, see, this is it. I can see myself just being there, just
put out by
reading my book.
So I
happy
used to
man.
Be, when I was like 10 or 11, I used to be obsessed with Next Generation.
Good woman.
I watched it back, like, I watched a few seasons back.
And you were
like,
amazed at how consistently brilliant it was.
Well, that, but also I was like... Since when has Commander Riker been like full on fucking misogynist?
Yeah.
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 I did not cop to that when I was like 10 or 11.
No, man, we've actually discussed this exact same thing on the podcast previously because I went back.
He treats Deanna like shit.
Shit. And he, everything, I like. I tell you one thing, I never sort of had much truck with the concept of manspreading. Now, maybe this is because I never take public transportation, so that might be why I'm not aware of it. But it seemed to me like a silly thing to just be like, oh, that's a thing to define it along gender lines seemed somewhat counterproductive in the greater scheme of progress, right, of cultural progress.
It's an epidemic.
What Riker does is... So much worse. What do you know?
The leg swing.
The leg swing.
Yeah.
That is just putting your balls in the face of everyone who is sitting at your table. That is, if there is an example, it should be Riker spreading. That would be a more apropos term.
Yeah.
Does he prop his leg up on like he does?
The he does maneuver. My history teacher. Yeah. So love to do that. Get your balls right in your face.
Throws his leg over the back of the chair to sit down.
God damn. But yeah, no, he is legitimately horrific.
He's a garbage human.
Yeah. And why? Because I love Next Gen. And then me and Donna sat down to watch like through all of Next Gen. And I was staggered. Like having not seen it for years, but loving it, you know, deeply. Yeah. And occasionally watching the odd episode, but going through it systematically, like... staggered by the degree of just straight up misogyny in it. And you sort of expect that shit in the original series, and it's dreadful in the original series, don't get me wrong.
But all through Next Gen, I was just I also like going back and watching it, I wish they had more of Dr. Pulaski.
Oh, you are alone in that.
Really?
Precious replacement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved her. I thought she was great.
She was a snooze.
No! She was great.
So boring.
And I loved her skepticism of Data and how like they sort of became friends throughout that season.
Right.
She like learned to love him. I just thought that was great.
Like, what's the near name? You're calling him Data. You know that whole thing?
No, he's Data.
Yeah, no, I know, Polanski at the...
Like
episode one, I think, of her arc was Data, like, what's the difference? One is a collection of information. Yeah. Or one is my name. The other is not. It was great, yeah.
Have you seen, there's a really funny YouTube series that Brent Spiner did called, I think it's like Fresh Hell or something.
No.
So it's, he plays himself, but as like a broke actor.
So himself.
Yeah. And there's like one episode, they're like 5 minutes long each. And like one episode, he's like trying to borrow money from LeVar Burton. It is so fucking funny.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Go for
it. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This ad break brought to you from the fine individuals over at lootcrate.com. You know Loot Crate. You love it like we do. Why not go to lootcrate.com/stoneface and check out all they have to offer. May's theme is Guardians. This month, Loot Crate are saluting those that stand up for others, whether they're protecting the galaxy, the world, or just the neighborhood. All hail the Guardians. As you might imagine, it features classic items and apparel from the likes of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Star Wars, which, Rob, I believe you have a passing familiarity with, Destiny, which is a very good shooter, and The Goonies, a movie from the 80s that I have not seen. But hey, I hear very positive things. Loot Crate, as you know, it's the monthly mystery crate for pop culture fans, and it is filled with over $45 worth of value in every crate. So if you use the promo code BADLADS, that's BADLADS, you get a couple of quid off, and boy howdy, if you aren't robbing them blind, go to lootcrate.com/stoneface and use the promo code BADLADS. And hey, when you do, if you send me over at john@stonefacefilms.com, that's john@stonefacefilms.com, a screenshot proving that you are a subscriber to Loot Crate and that you used our promo code, well, I will write you a poem of your very own on a topic of your choosing. And for those of you who are still waiting for your poems, don't worry, they're coming. They're coming. I'll work hard on this thing, man. This isn't, I'm not knocking out a limerick. I want to get some, like, I want to get some sort of beat poetry thing going on. Go to lootcrate.com/stoneface and use the promo code BADLADS. BADLADS. See you at lootcrate.com/stoneface.
Oh, yeah, because it was Free Comic Book Day on Saturday. I don't know if you saw this. Somebody, this is a question, somebody just stated it. Somebody, some comic book guy killed off Pepe the Frog.
Saw that.
Yeah.
Pretty the guy who created and decided to kill him off because he was upset with how it's been appropriated.
Yeah.
Did you hear his episode of Reply All?
No.
So he was on Reply All, which is a fantastic podcast about the
internet.
Is
it also on Gimlet?
Yes, it is. Gimlet Media do some very strong work, to be fair to them. I'll be recommending Homecoming on News Talk later on this evening. Yeah, he was on an episode of Reply All, and he was doing what I believe he titled the Pepe Freedom Movement, but I can't remember if that was what it was called, but it was something similar to that. And it was basically an attempt, because you know the whole thing about, hey, buddy, I got some rare Pepes for you. Which is like all different type of Pepes. So he basically was trying to get as many people as humanly possible to create loads and loads and loads of Pepes doing non-racist things or doing progressive things.
Just being sound.
Just being sound.
The Grand Tapestry of Pepes. The
right.
Episode, yeah.
There you go.
Great.
And trying to take it back.
Yeah.
And then the host of Reply All was just like, at a certain point, are you not just going to let him go? Are you not going to just, you know, try and move on? Which is, because it was real sad because he sort of saw himself, Pepe is like, because Pepe was one of a cast of characters in a webcomic he had produced, and Pepe was himself. Pepe was his author insertion persona.
Oh. Oh,
and
no.
So he was trying real hard to like get him back. But so, despite what even the host of Reply All was saying to him. So it's interesting now that he's
killed it off.
He's given up. Yeah. He's given up. And do you know what? He's right to do it. He needs to move on.
Wipe his hands and just walk away.
It's unfortunate, but.
And then punch Richard Spencer in the head.
I loved when that happened. I know, like,
three times.
I'm pretty much a pacifist, but like when Richard Spencer got punched twice in a day and all of those like remix videos came out, I literally just drank half a bottle of Prosecco and just watched an hour of them. I just thought it was the greatest thing. And then I like, when I couldn't find any more like Richard Spencer getting punched in the face videos, I started watching like back clips from movies where I knew Nazis were dying, like Indiana Jones. Like, watching Nazis get their faces melted off. I'm like, I need another fix. Yeah.
Last time he got glitter bombed and punched.
Is that right?
Yeah. Established glitter does not come off.
No, it's great.
Ask question here. If you could only play one game console for the rest of your life, which would it be and why?
GameCube.
Figured out a little cheat to this, but you go on. GameCube.
Oh, you were going to do an emulated Wii.
It's going to be like PlayStation 4 and then the PlayStation Store and just have all of the Sony games.
Yeah, that's not a bad show, but I'd go GameCube all day.
Great console.
Think about it, man. You got Double Dash, you got Wind Waker. With Wind Waker, you get Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask and a double bill disc. That's just two games. You're already sorted for life. You know, that's
Star
before
Wars,
you
Bounty
go
Hunter,
Metroid
Smash.
Prime, Smash,
Twin Snakes.
Twin Snakes, Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
You got
Sunshine?
Mario Sunshine, which is grand.
I'm trying to think of games. I never had one.
There were so many. Oh, man, Wave Racer, the GameCube one, that was great. Loads of. What do you have any particular GameCube games that shout out to you?
The only GameCube game I ever played was Smash. That was it. Like
GameCube was the shit, I had
one friend who had GameCube. Like someone had the PS2, someone had the GameCube, and then someone had Xbox, and then like we'd all just alternate people's houses to go play whatever. I think for me, because I grew up in the 90s, Super Nintendo, like that. Yeah.
SNES.
Love it. I love my SNES.
See, I like the GameCube as well because it's my favorite thing in video games is couch co-op.
Mm.
If you can do couch co-op or even just four player, like it breaks my heart when games that even should have it, racing games, stuff like that, don't have multiplayer, local multiplayer anymore. So GameCube was built for that. That was...
had four ports in it.
Wetrix.
Yeah.
Remember Wetrix? It was like Wetrix. Tetris, but with liquid.
Yeah.
And a 3D plane.
Man. Yeah.
It's great. It was fantastic. Anyway. Yeah, GameCube. That's my boy.
I kind of, after Super Nintendo, like I had an N64, and then I kind of stopped gaming after that. Like my dad was very much like, he used to like to take us to arcades and stuff. Because he liked the car racing games, and he'd just give us like $5 and change and be like, knock yourself out. And I was more of a skee ball, pinball kind of gal. And then, you know, the Simpsons game and like Mortal Kombat.
Simpsons game was great.
Yeah.
I love that.
What is skee ball? Is that where you just throw a ball into a
There's like a circle with like different holes
circles,
and stuff.
Right?
Three circles.
And
like
then two
holes.
Little ones.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. What are you going to go with?
I'm comfortable with my Xbox One because they've got loads of backwards compatibility stuff. So I can play my 360 games on that too.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So similar to getting the PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't believe you didn't get you went Xbox over PlayStation. Still shocks me to this day.
Yeah.
I prefer the controllers. Controllers are way better.
I know. But you can't play with your mates, all of whom have PlayStations.
I know, but I've got... I already had an Xbox 360, and I've got a shit ton of games.
I think I'm in Cavan. I'll put on my Xbox to play Netflix, effectively, or Dishonored.
Yeah.
It'll be like, one friend online, Rob.
Probably watching Netflix.
Oh, bless you. All right, that was cool. That was a good question. Who else asked that?
I don't know.
If they say the names, will you read them out?
Yeah.
If they're anon.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Sam Sweeney asked the old porn question. Everything else has been anon.
Sam Sweeney, say a triple S.
I'm a Shauna Scott.
Ooh, SS.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
What's your middle name, may I ask?
Nicole. So I'm a SNES.
SNES?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Super Nintendo.
Do you know SMS, like the text message? The beeping? That's Morse code for SMS.
Is it? Ah, cool.
Dot, 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 dash, dash, dot, dot, dot.
I never knew that.
Because SOS is dot, 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 dash, dash, dash.
Yeah.
So N is probably, I don't know, is there a way to work it out?
Mm.
Dash, dash, dot.
In case I ever need to know my initials in Morse code.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, it'd be dash, dash.
Would it?
Be N. That's
M. M is dash dash.
Yeah.
An N.
Oh, having a fuck.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I mean. Because if O is three dashes and M is two dashes, N you think would be...
I don't know if it works like that.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm sure there's some way to figure it out, but never mind.
Samuel Morse, give us a shout.
SM Rihanna.
I was listening to a thing about him the other day, about Morse.
Yeah. He went around solving mysteries.
In Oxford, yeah. On some other podcast, I think it was on the old... Because I listen to my podcast on Spotify, so I have a limited amount of... Not everything is up there. Like
This American Life is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's usually like, oh, what'll I listen to? And one of them, that's why I'm like, is that Gimlet? Because I know Gimlet have all theirs. Mm-hmm. And it was two ladies talking about Samuel Morse. It was stuff you didn't learn in history class or one of those kind of things. Question from Luke Bruton.
LB, the left back.
First off, Shauna, you are amazing.
Aw, thank you.
Just a statement. That's Luke Bruton. Question, have you ever been recognized in public for your work?
Me?
Yeah.
Once. It was a few weeks back. I was in the Black Sheep, and the lady behind the bar was like, are you the girl that runs a sex shop? And I was like, yes. Yes, it is me. You want to give me free beer? No.
See, no, it's because you asked for free beer rather than building a partnership.
No. Shut up. No. I didn't say that. I'd be like, oh God, I get like too... I don't like asking people for things. I get really like... I feel like... Not a failure. What's the word I'm looking for? A fraud. I have like imposter syndrome.
Right.
But yeah, she was really nice. I'm just like, yeah, that is me. So yeah, that was the only time I was recognized in public.
Actually, look, there's another question from Luke here. Have you all been enjoying the nice weather? Have you had a loop-de-loop or a calippo yet?
Do you know what? It's been really, really gorgeous. Killian yesterday brought me home a Maud's ice cream.
Oh.
It was mint. And I said my two favorites because they were going to get ice cream. Like mint and a like blue.
Yeah.
The two great flavors.
Mint and blue.
Yeah, and he got us one, brought it back. By the time it got there, it had all sort of congealed.
Oh. Maud's mint is class.
It is very pleasant.
Maud is a good mint.
When it's all mixed together, it's sort of a minty bubblegum nightmare, and it was very pleasant.
Mm. Last week, me and some friends went to the Black Sheep. Always in the Black Sheep.
Wait, is that on Cable Street?
Yeah, it's at the top of Cable Street. They do a deal where you can get like a kilo of chicken wings. And it's beautiful.
So a kilo of chicken wings.
A kilo of chicken wings.
Come in a bucket.
So we did that and then went down to Henry Street and got us a Geno's. It was a beautiful,
Geno's
beautiful evening.
The queues are always crazy.
Well, this was late at night, so there was zero queues.
That they're open in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. It's very nice.
Another thing. This isn't a question, more so an expression of admiration for Shauna because she's the motherfucking bomb.com, which...
Is that from Sarah Griffin?
It's just it says a no.
Because she told me that the other day.
You were the motherfucking bomb.com.
She said that I'm the bomb.com, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Well, it doesn't link to any particular website because the app has hyperlinked it. Someone says that they say messages in Scotland too. Thought it was a Scottish thing until we talked about it on the podcast. That was
nice.
Friday's episode.
That's cool. We are a close people.
Yeah, at least it wasn't the English.
Yeah, man. Right. CelticUnion.com. Let's go for it. Our Celtic Union.
I wish that would happen. Yeah. I want us to change your name to Skyerland.
Skyerland is a dreadful name.
No.
Bethesda presents
Skyerland. No, just straight up Celtic Alexander Union. Scarland. Yeah. Let's get it going, lads.
Last
we'll get the north.
Last meal on death row. Three courses.
Ooh. For starters. Duck and hoisin sauce pancakes.
Mm.
For a mains, I'll have a nice steak and peppercorn sauce with sweet potato fries and also lasagna. The classic
just
side
a little,
dish.
Just Irish, a little side. Right.
The classic side dish. And then for dessert, I will have the Smurf bile that Killian brought me home from Maud's the other day.
Smurf bile is great.
Yeah, the smashed up mint and blue. Or possibly lash that on top of a creme brulee. I'm a happy man.
Ooh.
I thought you were going to say on top of a lasagna.
Also
more
a dessert.
Lasagna.
A dessert lasagna would be perfectly pleasant.
Is it a dessert lasagna, not trifle?
Do you want to be a tiramisu?
Mm. It would, wouldn't it?
Tiramisu. Yeah. I saw... That's
the most Japanese pronunciation of an Italian dessert anyone's ever had.
I'm a deeply Japanese man, as you know. I was watching the Hairy Bikers the other day. You know the Hairy Bikers, cookery program?
They've cleaned up quite a bit.
Really?
What do you mean? I saw a photo of them recently. It's almost like, when you're looking worse than the Hairy Bikers, it's a bad day.
They were
groomed for some photo shoot.
I was watching them and they were making a healthy, they were doing all healthy food, which is fine.
A bit off-brand, though.
Slightly, but they were doing... They're big into... I mean, that's where the money is, and it's in the healthy cooking, you know?
Mm.
And they... and fair play to them. And they were doing a lasagna, like a low-fat lasagna, and they replace the sheets. And I really enjoy the hairy bikers. I think they're very nice, very affable chaps, but they replaced the pasta with sheets of boiled leek. And they lost me there.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Just, I don't know, fucking kill yourself, I think. But
roll it?
Wouldn't go with leek.
Like seaweed?
Maybe courgette.
No,
maybe.
You like peel off the layers of it.
Oh,
and boil it, so and then put it down.
Oh, God, okay.
But just use a bit of low-fat mince, low-fat cheese. You don't need to get rid of the pasta.
Just use whole wheat pasta or something.
Yeah,
something
you're grand.
Make your own.
Anyway, that made me want to die, so...
Blood on your hands, hairy bikers.
Yeah.
And not just for all those people you've probably run over.
This is it.
I'm just going to straight up say the roast from Fire. That whole
nice.
Three-course package.
You got the chicken, didn't you?
Unbelievable.
It was very nice.
You ever been to Fire Mansion House?
No, I thought you were talking about the Fire Festival.
Oh, my God. Can we just talk about that for a second?
Yeah. It's just the Fire Festival.
Oh, it was the greatest thing to happen to Twitter in the last week.
So good. So, Ja Rule. Remember Ja Rule?
He was featuring Chamillionaire.
Probably.
In his famous hit.
I'm Ja Rule. This is Chamillionaire.
Yes. Intro to Chamillionaire 101.
Him and some other person were like, we're going to make a music festival for rich kids.
On a fancy island.
On an island like the Bahamas. And it was like, what happened? Was there no running water?
There was nothing.
It looked like a refugee camp.
Oh, so this is a thing that happened.
Okay, so the whole deal was like, rich kids were going to either fly in private jets or they come in on yachts because it's an island. And they were supposed to, like, you pay a ton of money, like, per ticket. Like, I think it was, like 20 grand.
Some people paid up to 18 grand,
for a ticket. And the whole deal was that they were meant to be able to rub shoulders with celebrities. So you're paying, like, 20 grand to, like, go hang out with Ja Rule and other celebrities.
Blink-182 were supposed to be playing, but they pulled out when they realized it was a clusterfuck.
So to advertise this, like, a few months back, I think it was, like, around, like, November, Christmas time, anyway, they had, was it, like, Bella Hadid, Kendall Jenner, some, like, other, like, young, hot, model-y girls that I'm, like,
is Kendall Jenner the one who uses Pepsi to solve the world's problems?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Kendall or Kylie, I can't remember which is which. I can never, yeah. Anyway, one of those girls. So they were advertising, like, this big, famous person, star fucker fest. And so, like, everybody gets there, and, like, there's no celebrities, there's no amenities, there's, like, just these, like, massive tents, but it looks like a refugee camp for rich people.
Where is this island?
Like, Bahamas somewhere?
Yeah.
Also, it's Fire, but F-Y-R-E.
Oh, yeah, it's spelled with a Y, because, you know.
Cool.
I find this entire exercise detestable.
Exactly, yes.
They asked people, like the people who paid all that money to go to the Fire Festival, would they come back again next year? And a majority of them said they would.
80-something percent said they would.
Yeah.
But
Lord of the Flies didn't break out anyway, though.
Yeah.
Why? What was the attraction?
Status thing. Oh, yeah. But I saw one guy who was being like, I had a great time. Everyone here paid 20 grand for tickets. I won them in a raffle at work. He was just some dude who was like...
He's just in the sun for a couple of days.
This is hilarious. Like, if you had ever been to Oxygen or Let's Your Picnic, you'd have been fine. Like, you're like, it's a bit muddy.
This is
camping, whatever.
But it's sunny, like...
Yeah, exactly. But everyone was just... Started looting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, fights.
What's there to loot in?
Just stealing from other stuff.
Terrible cheese sandwiches. That's all they got.
Fights were breaking out. Rich Kid Fight Club.
Yeah.
Get away. I would love to be in Rich Kid Fight Club.
One of the memes that developed was calling Ja Rule Comrade Ja Rule.
Yeah. Saying that he was taking the fight to the bourgeoisie.
Yeah. Ja Rule scammed the top 1% better than anyone else could ever. Socialist king, when will Bernie ever? Like...
Still waiting on Bernie to get back to me, by the way.
Yeah, I think my favorite, someone made a joke about how when they make a Hollywood film about Fire Festival, that Scarlett Johansson's going to play Ja Rule.
Yeah, Comrade Ja Rule lures the 1% to private island to begin socialist revolution.
You know, Did anyone see the Scarlett Johansson Ghost in a Shell?
No, one did.
I spoilers for Ghost in a Shell, but a change they made from the original anime, manga, what have you, was that now the sort of big reveal towards the end of Scarlett Johansson's Ghost in a Shell is that the girl whose brain is inside Scarlett Johansson is actually a Japanese girl. And they gave her a Western body, Western face, which, how did they not grasp the inherent irony of what they were, like, at a purely screenwriting level?
That
shouldn't get past the first draft.
That's literal whitewashing.
Literal, we took a Japanese person and we made them white. Like, how does that get past the screenplay?
It's really controversial, but then we're going to have the twist that she was technically Japanese.
The whole time.
Yeah. It was all a dream.
Anyway, I was just blown away by that. I couldn't believe it.
The trailer just looks, I know it's...
It looks flashy, but I'd rather watch the original
or
film again.
Oh yeah, Blade Runner 2 is out soon.
Yeah.
That was all I was...
Oh my God.
Blade Runner 2 looks great.
It looks really good.
I'm excited.
Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Wow, so broody.
There's a fan fiction for you.
Those two.
You need to watch it again. You fell asleep, didn't you?
Oh,
in the cinema.
I fell asleep for a moment.
Right.
But when I told Damon afterwards, he thought I'd fallen asleep. I was like, you know, there was the woman, and then I sort of fell asleep, and next thing it just
cuts
a dead woman. So he thought I'd fallen asleep when there was the lady dancing with the snake.
I see.
Woke up when Daryl Hannah was dead, which is like a 45-50 minute window.
Yeah.
As opposed to I dozed off, started Snake Lady, woke up, end of Snake Lady.
I generally
like
don't fall asleep during films, but I've tried to watch Doctor Strange twice and fall asleep on
both
occasions.
Yeah, you're better off. It's a bad film.
Twice.
I found the guy who won tickets to Fire Festival, his quote, I got my ticket in a raffle at work, thought it'd be cool, didn't have much in the way of expectations, but yeah, watching rich people freak out because their luggage was being handled roughly or they were slightly dehydrated, oh, it was like chicken soup for my middle class soul. Best weekend of my life.
Beautiful.
That's great. Man, if nothing else, we should start White Collar Fight Club.
Yeah.
I always thought that MMA would be brilliant if you incorporated some of the, like, pageantry of wrestling, like if fighters had sort of personas, and that would be really fun.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a really fun little, I mean, adolescent, but fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Way of doing it. You just had like the banker's son.
That's bound to exist.
Captain Yachts.
We just don't know.
In Japan,
know
they go hard with the gimmicks.
In the MMA or wrestling?
In Japanese MMA.
I'd love that.
I said this before, I think, on the podcast that I wish every, like, UFC this week, UFC 204, and then, like, a list of fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And in this week's celebrity fight, we've got Elon Musk fighting Mark Rylands.
They did that. And celebrity death match.
Yeah, real.
Who's Mark Rylands?
He played the BFG in the last BFG.
It was an odd choice.
Yeah, no.
Elon Musk versus
I wanted
the
to go
BFG
the other, yeah.
BFG.
Yeah.
Does Elon Musk get to bring like a mech suit of his own design?
His
solar powered mech
thinking
suit.
Elon Musk is the closest we're going to get to Jon Favreau from Friends.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I'm a rich guy. I'm just going to fight.
Fight over.
I would, I'd really enjoy it.
Would love
that.
To be like, because you get some nut job. Like, you man, the movie director who challenged critics to a boxing match.
Yeah.
And bet quite a few of them.
Yeah.
But then, if you just had a disagreement with, like, him and Michael Madsen don't get on. Like, yeah, cool. Yeah. Duke it out. Three
Madsen would ruin
I would
him.
Love to see Michael Madsen fight literally anyone.
Yeah.
Every month, Michael Madsen, open challenge.
Did you ever watch Ricky Gervais's boxing match for charity?
Oh, I hope he got fucking knocked out.
No, yeah, he did okay.
Who was he fighting?
I can't remember. Martin Kemp, I can't remember.
I mean, if you're fighting any of the Kemps, you want to go Spandau Ballet as opposed to Ross.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know. I think Ross Kemp. I think he's all talk. I'd say he's got a glass jaw.
What?
Okay. Damn right.
Yeah, I reckon he does.
Really? Damn right.
That man's taking down. Ross Kemp or Michael Madsen?
Or Michael Madsen. I don't know. Michael Madsen probably hasn't hung out with ISIS.
No, Michael Madsen, I reckon.
You don't know. He might have.
I don't think Ross Kemp has.
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal has been banned from Ukraine as a security risk.
Yeah, I saw
that. Happened the other day.
Yeah, but that's not because he is, like, a lethal weapon. It's because he's
pals with Putin.
The best friends with Russia.
No, it's because of his hands.
His hands.
You're allowed in if you leave your hands and your feet behind.
The plot from Con Air, where it's just like, because of your extreme training, you are considered a lethal weapon.
They just get locked in boxes in front of him.
Oh my god, I love Con Air.
He just has to wear muzzles on his hands. Like little lobster claw elastic bands. Just doesn't know how to... That's how I'm viewing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that's how he's viewing it as well.
Exactly.
What a prick.
Dangerous for Ukraine. Donna, what was your three-course meal for death?
Oh, yeah. my three-course death meal. Probably starter. I like a light starter. So maybe like smoked salmon or something. I do like smoked salmon.
Licked off Donald Gleason's plate that he's left behind.
I'm not that weird, I promise, Donal.
Only one way to find out, Donal.
I know.
Come on, DG, let's get it going. Get involved.
So, yeah, smoked salmon, I think main course.
Would you have them just in a hypothetical situation? Would you have them, like, in the full uniform from Force Awakens? Like the military garb?
No, I'm not into that, man.
That'd be my straight
soldier and a gentleman. An officer and a gentleman.
Officer and a gentleman.
You know, oh god, this is gonna sound really weird. Okay, so he was in this like sketch show for RTE a long time ago.
Oh yeah.
And there
soup no, stew.
I can't remember the name of it, but he did this sketch where he was like working in what was essentially like a Marks and Spencer's, like in the menswear department.
Oh yeah.
And he kept like pretending that he was like in Transformers or like X-Men or something. Oh, he was in X-Men. And cause he was just like so bored out of his mind. And he was just like whispering to himself, like these like scenes from like X-Men that were like, might've been happening around him, and his manager caught him and was like, I thought I told you to stop playing X-Men again. Yeah, I just thought that was really funny. And I just, I like nerdy Donald Gleason,
nerdy
not so much,
Gleason.
Military Donald Gleason. Yeah.
What was the one, Rob, you'd know better than this, when he was asked what his motivation for being a bad guy was? And wasn't it Adam Driver being like, well, all evil people think that they're doing good and in their own morality. That's all.
I don't know. I know.
Was like, well, I'm British.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, he's British.
I'm clearly evil.
Yeah. Was that the
celebration?
The panels.
Oh, the panel.
Celebration, yeah.
This is something about like he pilots a giant death machine rolling into other.
And he was like,
areas.
Called Starkiller. And then he was like, oh shit, I don't think I should have said that.
But like he made some dig at colonialism as well.
Yeah.
Love it.
I saw.
Your Bad Self was the name of that sketch.
Oh, was it? Okay, cool. Him and his brother and his dad were in the Woolworth farce.
So
in
good.
The
yeah, it was
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it was
fucking good.
So
and
good.
I went into it not knowing what it was about at all, had no fucking clue. And then just these Cork accents out of nowhere. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And you think it's going to be like this hilarious film and it just gets, or film, play,
yeah.
And it just gets so fucking dark.
Yeah,
but
it was incredible.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But he drops his trailer quite a bit.
He did, yeah. Yeah.
Did you see... Donald D.
Donald
get visual D.
D shadow.
Do we have confirmation?
He has one.
Right.
Is confirmed.
Well, there you go.
I just saw some bum. I didn't see. Was there D there?
Not like out, but he's in his jocks.
Yeah.
Do you not? He's not walking around for a bit in them.
At the same in the same theater, like the month before, I saw before Woolworth Farce was running. What was it called?
Ballyturk,
mm. Yeah, and you.
Oh, I think I'm mixing those up.
You get to see some
Killian Murphy.
Killian Murphy.
I missed Ballyturk.
Little Killian Murphy
saw,
hanging.
Let
me tell you, hanging for days, trailing behind him. So it was.
Michael Murphy was played by.
Stephen Reed played Killian Murphy's dick.
that man can play anything.
Oh, the man! The only time I've ever gotten a genuine laugh off Adam Sandler in my adult life, I would say, is he was on Conan and he was talking about doing some movie with Shaq and then going to the showers afterwards, because he was just like, he knew Shaq was going to the showers and he was like, this is really unprofessional, but I have to look at Shaq's dick. And so he goes...
That's fair.
He goes into the showers and he's like, there's this big fucking bodyguard standing in front of, like, at the doorway to the showers. And he's, like, got one eye staring at him.
Nope.
Like, big, huge, muscular arms. He's like, you got to get out of here. He goes, all right. And he says, oh, sorry about that earlier on, Shaq. Your bodyguard told me not to go into the showers. He goes, I don't have a bodyguard. That was my dick. And that was, yeah, got a laugh out of me.
I just, while on Fire Festival, and this, in a way, ties in with
this is the first I've heard of Fire Festival at all.
Here's a Reddit post from our Fire Festival. And
this is some Reddit. I love it.
So it's somebody looking for help. I have some tarps, 6 jugs of water, 1 loaf of bread and 5 boxes of cheese, seashells, my iPhone 7 Plus, my keys, one of which is especially sharp and could be a dull blade, my suitcase and a vibrator. I'm willing to trade some food for a cooler if anyone has one. Alternatively, if you have some bags of ice, I can make the suitcase a cooler and will trade you food for your frozen water. If anyone has a nice bit of twine, I will make you a nice seashell necklace if you give me some bread or ice. I'm willing to trade the batteries in the vibrator, but only for high-value items like a hatchet or medical supplies. If you want to trade, meet me by where the feral dogs usually are. Don't try...
Oh, yeah, the island was full of feral dogs.
Don't try anything funny. I have a keychain dog whistle. And then the top comment is, and this, kids, is how The Walking Dead got real.
Yeah, there were feral dogs.
That is superb.
Daryl, come in and stick with Comrade Jack.
I have a question about that.
Yep.
Why is there cheese in a box?
5 boxes? Yeah.
Like 5 boxes of cheese?
Calvita.
Don't think these rich kids are bringing the laughing cow with them. I think that's Mitchelstown or nothing.
I mean, it was the vibrator I was surprised was brought to a music festival as opposed to...
No, I got stuck on the boxes of cheese.
You know, man,
Meet me by where the feral dogs usually are.
Usually are. Superb. Shauna, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having
me. Did you have fun?
I had so much fun.
Will you come on again sometime? We'd love to have you back.
Please, have me back. Buy me coffee and I will come talk about my sex shop and Donald Gleason some more.
Is there any message you have for the listeners out there, all of whom apparently... seem to have a huge amount of respect and admiration for you.
Oh, thank you so much for the huge amount of respect and admiration.
I wasn't looking specifically.
No.
But you know what I mean.
I'm gonna repeat the question and your answer.
I feel really awkward with compliments, but thank you all like so much. That really means a lot to me.
Well, I've had a blast. I really hope the listener has as well. On behalf of the founder and proprietor of sexshoppa.ie, your number one stop for body-safe things that you can stick in your bum.
Or your vagina.
And anywhere.
I just like...
Or your mouth.
Sure, why not? What am I?
To tell you where to stick your
body-safe objects. Miss Shauna Scott, everyone.
Thank you so much for
having
me.
Thank you so much for being here. It was a joy. Thank you also a huge amount to our engineer from Sentinel Audio Productions, the a la carte to our Dracula, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan.
Goodbye, everybody.
And thank you very much to the co-host of the show who almost couldn't be here because he was hanging upside down from a ceiling looking downwards at a recovering heroin junkie. It's Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye, folks.
My name's been John Hosier-Brown. Thank you very, very much for listening. Good night.
This and every episode of the Stoneface Films podcast comes to you directly from the good people over at Patreon, or more specifically, the good people who support us on Patreon, of whom you may be one, and we really, really appreciate your continued support and love and everything else, particularly the top lads, Becca Hiriami, Laura Conway, McMatts, who does all of our lovely things, Therese Smout, Terry Peterson, Mandy Taylor, and Anna. We hugely appreciate your support. To the Ensigns and the USS Best Friends, Sam Sweeney Saya, Jess Angell, Jamie Pomerleau, Lucy Wilkerson, Megan Noble, and Chelsea Kirkman, thank you so much to each of you. We hugely appreciate your support. To the Knights of the Sainsbury's Car Park, Alice and the mysterious Lard Flames, that's the greatest Tom Waits album, and the most mysterious of all knights, thank you for your support. Thank you to the small councillors of King Robert the Hand, Mary Dornan, Luke Bruton, Shelley Umla, and Dawn Smith. We hugely appreciate your support and love you dearly. Finally, our veritable deities, the stars in the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, John Oldman Byrne, Lizzie, the Goblin Child. A new challenger enters, my friends. We have two new patrons this week, but the Goblin Child. Straight into the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, we are delighted to have you. And your t-shirt and various other accessories will be coming to you post-haste. Thank you very, very much for your support. And we look forward to doing some new things with the Patreon. What are we doing, Rob?
Bonus episodes.
You're damn right. From now on, every month, a sweet bonus app will be coming exclusively to the Patreon listeners, so look forward to that. See you later, guys. Thank you so much for your time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazyitis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.